The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Welcome once again to God Calling. We're really very, very happy that you're joining us. Brian and Maria Dean are joining us today, married couple. First of all, welcome to The Rock, AM 1260 and God Calling.
Thank you.
How long have you guys been married?
It was 34 years in September.
Wonderful.
I always look at him to see if he remembers.
Yeah, he did kind of defer to you there pretty quickly. Smart man. Smart man. Maria, where'd you grow up?
In Greater Cleveland, Maple Heights.
What, Catholic school or Catholic?
Yes, I went to St. Wenceslaus. Started at Trinity, but left and graduated from Maple Heights High School. Went to Kent State University and met him during my internship junior year in college.
Mm-hmm. What was growing up like in the family? Daily prayer, daily mass, weekly mass?
So my experience growing up Catholic is probably unlike most. Mm-hmm. My dad had two brothers that were Marist priests.
Wow.
My mom had two sisters that were Sisters of St. Joseph. My dad had been in the seminary for 3.5 years, and my mother ran a big parish in Pittsburgh before she got married. So the whole world to me was Catholic. Mm-hmm. We watched the Super Bowl in the Mother House in Baden, Pennsylvania when the Steelers were, because that's where my parents were from. So to me, I didn't understand the world being anything other than Catholic-centered, because that was just our whole experience growing up.
Out of college, you say you went to Kent State, and that's you met during your internship then after that? Oh,
yeah, when we were married. We met in December of 84, and we were married in September of 88.
Kind of a long courtship, which is a good thing.
Yep.
Brian, same thing. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in the near west side of Cleveland, real close to the zoo. My upbringing wasn't as Catholic as Maria's. my father was Catholic, and my mother is Methodist. And so a typical weekend for me was going to Mass with my dad on Saturday and going to service with my mother on Sunday. And, you know, that led to some confusion for, you know, a young person. But
sure.
I went to Cleveland Public Schools, and then freshman year, I went had an opportunity to go to St. Ignatius High School, then went to John Carroll. And while at John Carroll, I worked in Rodman Hall, which was the priest dorm.
Okay.
My neighbor in one of the dorms was a Jesuit priest. So even though I wasn't Catholic, I was had a lot of Catholic influences.
Mm-hmm. Was that a tough balancing act, you think, for your parents with the two, or did it give you a broader view of religion in general?
You know, it gave me a broader view, but going back to my comment about the confusion for a young person, you know, that confusion kind of went away. Actually, it did go away. It didn't kind of go away when I met Maria.
Mm-hmm.
When Maria and I, we teach pre-Cana classes, and I share with the class, you know, my calling, and it's a beautiful calling. I tell, you know, the guys that I'm talking to that Christ wanted a relationship with me, and he pulled me into a relationship through my wife's beautiful blue eyes.
Okay.
And it's the truth. And, you know, I'm blessed, and meeting Maria and getting introduced to the Catholic faith and getting pulled into it was, you know, life-changing for me.
Mm-hmm. Maria, how affirmative or helpful to you is it to teach the pre-Cana? You guys have to talk, and you talk to the class, but I think it's got to be enriching to your marriage.
It's funny. We always joke, not joke. There's a reason that the first sin in the Bible is Satan trying to divide husband and wife. And every time we're preparing for something like this, or for pre-Cana, or for any of the other things that we've done throughout the years, we find that there's stress that comes between us when we're preparing to go do something that's for the greater glory. So when we do have the opportunity to stand up in front of young people and to tell them our story, and, you know, over this many years, there's bumps in the road, and to tell them don't expect every day to be lollipops and sundaes, because that's just not the way that it's going to be. I do feel that all of the struggles that we've endured brought us to the point where we can give a life-affirming message to the young people. We have three married children. One was an out-of-town wedding, one was a New Year's Eve wedding, and one was a COVID wedding. So we've been kind of through the
bumps
mill
in the road.
with helping young people prepare for marriage. So I think that gives us a good vantage point to talk to young people about what they're currently experiencing and to encourage them to stay affirmed to their faith and encourage them and congratulate them for choosing to get married in front of an altar before God when so many of their friends are not.
Are a lot of kids going into it eyes wide open or eyes wide shut?
So I know a lot of people, particularly our age group, likes to really dump on millennials. I take a totally different view. I joke that I speak millennial really well because I've spent so much time with them. I actually think that they're much deeper thinkers and much better communicators than our generation ever was at their age. They enter into relationships much more wide-eyed, much more realistically than I think we did. And I think that they're much better at communicating deep, meaningful ideas and feelings than we were. It took us years of really life happening for us to be able to put words to what we thought and experienced and felt. So I feel that it's as much life-giving to us as it is anything that we give to them. I just think that there's a lot to learn from them as much as we try to teach to them.
How important do you think that is, Brian? Should married people be doing that? At least you're getting a lot out of it. I've never done it, but it might be a good thing.
It's a good thing that we weren't asked to give pre-Cana talks in the first 20 years of our marriage. We definitely got better as it went. But, you know, Maria's comment about, you know, leading up to a presentation, you know, we didn't figure it out, but it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. I remember one particular pre-Cana Sunday, we're walking in into the retreat house, and she was the last person on earth that I wanted to be with, and vice versa.
I think the last thing I said to him was, don't even look at me.
And then I figured it out. It was the evil one, you know, absolutely attacking us and not wanting us to, you know, deliver, you know, a good message. And I mean, it kind of clicked. And I share that every time I get a chance to talk to young people, that I'm not great at quoting scripture, but I do know that in the book of Matthew, it says that the evil one's like a lion on the prowl looking for his next victim. Mm-hmm. So I tell the guys, and I remind the guys, that my name is Brian, and that rhymes with lion. And I say that a number of times because I want, you know, the message to get across. But it makes sense that the evil one hates love. And so to answer your question, I love sharing the truth about marriage and trying to help younger people. We also tell this story. I embarrass myself pretty well. I look back to my pre-Cana, our pre-Cana, and, you know, I confess to the guys that, you know, I don't remember anything about the day.
Same here.
And it's even more embarrassing. You know, I wanted probably to watch the Browns, who probably lost. But most embarrassingly is the fact that Maria's parents, you know, led the pre-Cana session.
Okay.
And they were wonderful, wonderful people. And I look back, and what a golden opportunity for me that I missed. And so I tell, you know, I tell the guys that you may not want to be there at pre-Cana, or one of you may have stronger faith than the other, but realize. And then I tell the story about God pulling me into a relationship through Maria. Yeah. And that's what a good marriage should be about.
Stay right where you are. We'll be back right after these messages on God Calling, right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Welcome back. This week, we're welcoming Brian and Maria Dean to the program on God Calling. Guys, how long were you married before you began having children? Maria?
We were married in September of 88, and then, unfortunately, we miscarried. I don't remember the date of that. The fall of 89? 89? And then our first son was born in February of 91, 2.5 years before Michael was born.
Okay. And you have three total?
We have three girls after Michael, so four total.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, were you able to work outside the home, or were you a full-time mom?
So I I'm a CPA. I specialized in corporate tax work. And when we were pregnant with our second Anna, my mother became very ill and ended up dying. So I was torn between working at one of the, at the time, Big Eight public accounting firms, having a small infant, and caring for my mom who had cancer. So thankfully, the people that I worked for, the partner in charge of the Cleveland office at the time, was a very, very wonderful Catholic man and understood what I was going through and was very, very supportive. And then after my mom died and then Anna was born, they said to me, if you want, we have a number of clients. You can stay at home and work. And wow, we'll keep them on the audit side and we'll let you be the just the tax person. And I started my own practice that way. Uh-huh. It was way before the time that people were doing that. They set me up with everything I needed to be able to be efficient at home. And it worked great the whole time that our kids were young. So I was able to work basically full time, but have a nanny in the house. But my full time was like sometimes 10 p.m. till 2 in the morning to just do whatever I needed to do.
The work got done.
Yeah, but the work got done. And I was able to do it at home. And I was able to be there for all four of our kids whenever they needed us. So
Brian, you also have an accounting background.
Yeah, Maria is definitely the better accountant, but I love accounting because it introduced me to Maria.
Uh-huh,
and,
sure.
And I thought that, you know, that was a godsend for sure.
He's the better business person for sure.
But Maria and I also had the opportunity to start a few businesses and actually work together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny when we, you know, talk to some couples who they laugh at, you know, the fact that we work together, and they tell us there's no way they could work with their spouse. And, you know, even though it does pose its challenges, you know, those people don't have a spouse like I do. And mm-hmm. Marie and I work, you know, really, really well together. And I, you know, worked on building the business, and she was great at, you know, building the infrastructure around the business. So we were blessed to, you know, to start businesses and grow them and sell them and also, you know, balance the, you know, that work balanced life with our growing family.
I retired a couple of years ago, and the happiest woman in Cleveland right now is my wife, because I'm here. it takes some getting used to, yeah. And it's not you don't just say I'm not going to work today. It's different expectations, and on it goes. But it's you know, it's still delightful. But
I'm in the retirement business, so we manage retirement plans,
right,
and help individuals retire, and it is a big adjustment
for sure.
You know,
sure.
Not it's not only financial but emotional too.
So. Yeah, Maria, you mentioned something which was the kind Catholic gentleman who made this happen for you, allowed this to happen, and you're working together now in a different agency, Legatus, which has to do with executives, but how's their faith trickle down, if I'm putting it correctly?
No, that's good.
Brian, tell me about it.
So Legatus is Latin for the word ambassador, and Legatus was founded over 25 years ago by Tom Monahan, the founder of Domino's Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Monahan was an orphan raised by nuns, and he started selling pizzas and sold a lot of them and became a billionaire, and realized after owning sports teams and cars and, you know, a lot of material possessions that he didn't have true joy, and pivoted pretty much on a dime and put his efforts, sold a lot of his assets, but put a lot of the effort into two causes, Ave Maria University in Florida, and also forming Legatus. And purpose of Legatus is to create a couples organization, mm-hmm, for folks that are in a position of influence, meaning if you own a business or if you're in charge of a lot of people where you might have influence and be able to bring Christ into the workplace. It was a wonderful experience for me and Maria, because she was doing her Catholic things and I was doing mine. And lo and behold, the evil one is like, mm-hmm, you know, she's going her way, I'm going my way, but we didn't have our way. And Legatus had us slow down a little bit. And every month we would, you know, go to a rosary mass, confession, and have a speaker, a Catholic speaker that would kind of reignite your Catholic flame.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been really good for me.
And Maria, these are monthly meetings, so it's date night.
Well, that's one thing that we do encourage people when they're considering joining. It is date night. And for people who have really, really busy professional calendars in addition to their family demands, it is a moment to set aside to remember who you are and why you're together and why your family exists, because you decided to be married to one another. So it's a really important aspect of Legatus that it is focused, because most business leader organizations are for the business leader,
yep.
not their spouse. And this is a beautiful way to bring the couples together to grow in their faith.
The beauty of the organization also is they don't have a specific cause. Mm-hmm. They're not raising money for a specific cause. It's really to reignite that flame. Every member that we meet has a special cause, and we've been introduced to many charities. But I think the biggest blessing for Legatus, other than the friendships and the time Marie and I spend together, is we formed a very, very strong and wonderful relationship with Bishop Roger Grease.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful man. And Maria, what's a meeting like? There's prayer, there's fellowship.
Yeah, it starts with rosary. Now they've added adoration prior to rosary, which I think is beautiful addition to the evening. Confession is always available prior to Mass. Mass is followed by a cocktail hour because you need a cocktail hour before you have dinner. And then followed with dinner and then speakers. I had the privilege of being both a treasurer and the speaker chair for about 10 years.
Wonderful.
So I got to meet incredible people from all over the country that we introduced to the organization and developed friendships with. And it was just such a blessing for us, and it's paid such dividends for our family.
Well, if you guys will stay there, I'll stay here. And I hope our listeners stay tuned as well. Right here on God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Brian and Maria Dean joining us on God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. Thanks for sitting tight, staying with us on this very interesting show. We've been talking about Legatus, and some of the reading I did, it calls basically the members ambassadors for Christ in the marketplace. At the same point in time, as a businessman, businesswoman, you have decisions to make. Sometimes they're hard decisions. You got to lay somebody off, right?
Yeah.
Boy, that can't be fun. I've never had to do that. Then again, how do these principles help you and maybe do something like that in a charitable way or a kind way or to offer a helping hand as well, as opposed to here's your cardboard box, get out?
I've tried over the years to attend daily Mass, and I start my day that way, trying to be as balanced as I can. And what I've begun doing over the past year is inviting folks to Mass for business purposes.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to Mass, and then we go grab coffee, and we talk about what they may need or what I may need. And also begun recruiting younger men that work at my company to join.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them Catholic. A lot of them are fallen away Catholic. And just to give them an opportunity at the last monthly meeting, unfortunately I was ill. We invited our CEO and he attended, and it's giving these younger men something to look up to. But yeah, it's difficult to make decisions. But if you pray over those decisions, and if you keep your focus on the common good, and if you ask God to light your path, typically I find peace when you have to make tougher decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But in more tangible ways, one of the things that we've noticed over the years is many people that are in the positions that we've been in will pay their people just what they need to pay them, just to keep them from grumbling, and then reserve the rest for themselves. And I have to give Brian a ton of credit. He's never done that. He's always been very, very generous with his people, and he wants them to, he develops loyalty with them, and consequently they're loyal back. A lot of them probably couldn't make what they're making. Mm-hmm. If they left to go to a competitor, because he's been very generous. And at times people in his position would be like, well, that's really, they would keep it for themselves. And you don't do that, which I give a great deal of credit to your dedication to faith. The other thing is, like, during COVID, a lot of people were considering how to scale back, or, the people are talking
sure.
about. And you didn't do that. We found a way to keep everybody, even if it meant some people had to go to reduced time or whatever that was for a period of time, because they all have families and they have mortgages and they have homes. And you just found a way to thread that needle, which I give you a lot of credit for.
I daily ask God to help me make good decisions so I could profitably grow my division for the common good.
Yeah.
And the common good is every person that works in the group. And we've got about 450 people in our group. And what I'm trying to teach the leaders is, the importance of the team and looking out for them. And I'm convinced that if you're balanced, God wants to shower all kinds of graces on you. And I want to make as much money as I possibly can for my team and for myself, so that I can
sure.
carry out His goodwill and His glory here on earth.
Well, a happy employee is a successful employee, probably. I heard a priest at Mass just this Sunday said he was someplace in Europe, and he saw a sign on a building and said, one is great, together we're unstoppable, or something to that effect. And that sounds like some of what you're some of what you're talking about. The Cleveland chapter, I read, was founded by Umberto Fidelli, another wonderful Catholic guy for sure. Tell me about the Cleveland chapter. How many members?
We were blessed to have Umberto, his energy and his network, kick the chapter off. And the chapter grew very quickly. And I think some members viewed it more as a social networking organization.
Early on.
And then Umberto has been a member, you know, since the inception. And you know, the membership today, you know, I think the networking does take place, but that's secondary.
Yeah.
I mean, it's there for the Catholic, you know, the lighting of that Catholic flame that I mentioned. So
there are about 45 couples right now. At one point, I think it was as high as 80 couples. And then during the Great Recession of 7, 8, 9, 10, around there, we went down to, I think the lowest was 29 couples. Mm-hmm. It was just a difficult time to recruit people for something like this. But then it's grown back. And as the membership has grown, I think as members are coming in, they're coming in a much more discerning manner. I just think that a lot of people sense that there's just a growing evil and a growing unsettled feeling in our world today, and a lot of younger people who are coming through the ranks in the business community are starting to have a sense of awareness that things are not the way they used to be. Mm-hmm. And they're coming in eyes wide open with a much more robust faith life than I think may have been evident in the past.
Recruiting for Legatus is a challenge. You're dealing with folks that have a lot on their plate and trying to get them, you know, to take a little hiatus, even though it's good for them. They don't know that, and they're running pretty fast, and they're called with, you know, a lot of different causes.
Yeah, well, it's so. Like any organization. You have to get your feet underneath you. It's not a networking thing necessarily. It's going to happen, but faith-based.
Typically, the recruitment is you come to an event, see if you like it.
Yeah.
Most couples, it's one and done. They see it. They feel the energy in the room, like-minded people, and it does reignite their Catholic faith, and typically they sign up.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Not to be snobbish or anything like that, but you want the upper echelon of people who can make the most impact, I suppose, trickling down.
Well, the point of it is to maximize the reach of the membership, right? If you're going to be encouraging people to take the resources that God has entrusted them with, you want people with resources. And they are impacting, whether it's within the church, within other charitable organizations, within their own businesses, within their medical practices, their law practices, whatever. They reach and contact a lot of people. And how do you preach what it looks like to be Catholic without saying a word is really what you're trying to encourage people doing. You know, they'll know we are Christians by our love. And if you can be out there and in the workplace, and if your faith comes through how you treat one another, even in adversarial situations, they're going to say, wow, that guy really handled that well, or that lady really handled that with dignity in a way that we don't necessarily commonly see amongst negotiators today. Mm-hmm.
Well, our time is just about up. You guys have certainly found a positive way to use your blessing of your marriage to reach out to other folks, and I'm glad you shared your stories with us.
Paul, if I may, God bless you and your listeners, and God bless our daughter, Olivia, whose birthday is today.
Oh, wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
This is God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. We hope you'll join us each and every week at this very same time.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.